Numbers 8. Hallelujah. In the book of Numbers. This is not a gambling book. It's just called the book of Numbers. This is not flash paper. It's the Bible. Hallelujah. For some of us who've come out of the wicked arena of deception, perversion. Hallelujah. And now you've come to the marvelous light. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, how many of you know God is bringing unity in the church? I said in the church. That means his body. Amen. And there's so many things that are happening right now, and there's such a move of God in so many areas, and God is rescuing people left and right from all over. It doesn't matter. And the draw of God is increasing more and more. We're not here by coincidence, are we? Amen. People are not going into the presence of God by coincidence. God is drawing them. There's a purpose and a reason. You may think you've been conjured to be here, but hallelujah. Have you been coerced to be here? You know, God's got a way of getting us here, doesn't he? Hallelujah. You know why? Because he wants to bring something to us. He wants to bring something to us. And by bringing something to us, we have an opportunity to accept what God is doing and bring a change in our life. And what we're changing to is more and more of his image and likeness. It's not just about an instantaneous change where we're going to go back into the world and do the same things. It's a continuous change. It's an eternal change because we're starting our eternal life right here on earth. Amen? Now, you know, if you begin to look back in certain areas of your life, you may think sometimes that God isn't doing anything because you're waiting for this lightning bolt to hit you and instantly change you. This cloud overtake you and, you know, shake you and do all kinds of stuff. So am I. But don't worry, you know, praise God. But there's a process in God that knows how to deal with each and every one of us. Amen? And there's this process that we're going through, and it's change. It's change. We go from glory to glory to glory. And one of the things that God is trying to do, you know that there are 12 tribes of Israel. And God had a standard for each tribe to do a specific job. And the tribe of Levi, right, they were called to serve in the temple of God or in the tabernacle or the covenant. And in this arena, they were designated to do certain jobs in the temple or in the tabernacle. And what God is doing right now, listen, what he does is he brings us into presence, in his presence. The building is not the house of God until you come in it. You understand that? You know, I really want to illustrate that and impart that because it's not about a building. You are the temples of God. You're the pillars of God. And when you come into a building, you make it the house of God. Amen? Now, the Bible tells us that even when tithes and offerings and so forth come to the house of God so it can be distributed. Amen? So all the God's house is also a storehouse, isn't it? It's a storehouse to help feed, clothe, and shelter. It's a storehouse to help missions and send out word. It's a storehouse to where people are coming and getting the revelations from the throne room of God and getting fed. One of the things that Jesus expressed intently to his servants was to feed my sheep. Amen? So we get fed by the word, carried by the Holy Spirit, by the throne room of God. Amen? And I want to talk about something which is really important because once we get saved, we get delivered, we get healed, and we're kind of wondering what we're supposed to be doing. And as we wait on God for direction and so forth, waiting on God means a waiter serves. Amen? Serves. And there are things that you and I can do. One of the things that the Lord has put on my heart that what we want to do in this ministry and in this church, we're going to be a working church. We're not going to sit back. We are going to work. We are going to do everything that we can. We are going to plow. We're going to outreach. Is everybody with me? We're going to be a working church. I mean by a working church is a working church is a one that disciples to send, to impart, so that they can be an example and a disciple also. Is everybody with me? A working church, we want to be able to have, I do not like a building that is not used. It drives me crazy. I see these big, huge churches, and I drive by them. I'm always wondering what they're doing. And if they're not doing nothing, it grieves my spirit. We want to be able to have in this church a working body of Christ. Jesus was working. He always said something very powerful. I work the works of my Father. Amen? And we're to be doing the works of our Father. And what we want to do is establish a working church. A working church is an apostolic church. A church, a specific area, a fellowship which God has designated for a specific purpose. Amen? All over the world. We are not to do what other places do because God's not called us to do that. Amen? We have a specific purpose. Remember we talked about the hand can't do what the foot does, although the foot likes to put it in the mouth all the time. Hallelujah. So there is a specific purpose and a plan that God has for a specific body, a fellowship in his body to do a part that he's calling it for it to do. And one of the things that we need to begin to do in this area is understand that once we were resurrected, hallelujah, because we were all once dead, amen. And now we're resurrected. Of course, we are waiting for the other resurrection to come. Because we were dead. We were deader than doornails, man. On our way to hell. Amen. And God rescued us. And he rescued us to be an expression of him and who he is. So we're all changing to get his character. The exchange that we're making. Amen. And it's on a daily basis. Your trials and tribulations are opportunities to grow so that his character can be manifested. And Numbers 8, I want to talk about the Levites. And you and I are actually in the arena of Levites. Amen? We are also from the tribe of Judah. The word Judah means praise. So we are involved in ministry of music. Levites were to maintain the tabernacle. They were to assist the priests. And we assist the high priest, don't we? Amen? Because we are priests, so that means we're to submit to one another. Would you start with me in verse 5? Take the Levites from among the children of Israel and cleanse them ceremonially. You might want to call that water baptism. Thus you shall do to them, to cleanse them, sprinkle what? Water of purification on them. See, they didn't baptize in those days, did they? And let them shave all their body, and let them wash their clothes, and so make themselves clean. We're not going to shave all of our body these days, thank God. Then let them take a young bull with its grain, offering of fine flour mixed with oil, and you shall take another young bull as a sin offering, and you shall bring the Levites before the tabernacle of meeting, and you shall gather together the whole congregation of the children of Israel. So you shall bring the Levites before the Lord, and the children of Israel shall lay their hands on the Levites. And Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord like a wave offering from the children of Israel, that they may perform the work of the Lord. Then the Levites shall lay their hands on the heads of the young bulls, and you shall offer one as a sin offering and the other as a burnt offering to the Lord to make atonement for the Levites. And you shall stand the Levites before Aaron and his sons, and then offer them like a wave offering to the Lord. Thus you shall separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. Hello. After that, the Levites shall go into service, the tabernacle of meeting. You shall cleanse them and offer them like a wave offering, for they are wholly given to me from among the children of Israel. I have taken them for myself instead of all who opened the womb, the firstborn of all the children of Israel. So you got to understand, God has already taken me and you. He has taken us. We are his, aren't we? Amen? One of the things I want to talk about is serving in the house of God. Serving in the house of God. I'm going to label this serving in the house of God. It's called Levitical service, okay? Serving in the house of God is Levitical service. Would you turn to Numbers 18? Now, the tabernacle, we look at nowadays as the fellowship. This is now the tabernacle where you and I serve, isn't it? Amen? And we're to perform our Levitical service, serving in the house of God. In Numbers 18, hallelujah. In verse 20. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? Then the Lord said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in their land, nor shall you have any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the children of Israel. Now, in other words, he was saying, listen, you don't have to worry about the things of the world. I'm your inheritance. Let me tell you, if he's your inheritance, you have everything then. Do you understand that? It wasn't about just the little things of the world, because they were doing all kinds of other stuff. Okay, you get inheritance here and here. Let me tell you got God as your inheritance, then you have the whole universe. Amen? He says, I'm your inheritance. Behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tithes in Israel as an inheritance in return for work which they perform, the work of the tabernacle of meeting. Hereafter, the children of Israel shall not come near the tabernacle of meeting, lest they bear sin and die. In other words, when we approach God, and even on a standard, when we start our prayer, when we start our day, one of the first things we ought to do is repent. Well, I repented before I went to bed. Praise God. Repent when you go to. It doesn't matter. It's an open arena where you come humbly. Lord, you know what? I had a goofy dream. I don't even know what I dreamed. I don't know what was imparted in me. You could have had corruptible seeds imparted in you while you slept. Let me tell you, the devil doesn't always hit you while you're awake. He loves to hit you while you sleep. Amen? So when you get up in the morning, you curse those corruptible seeds, command them to wither and die, and break and loose yourself from every associated spirit with those corruptible seeds. Because you know, most of the time you get up, the first thing you think of is flesh. What do I have to do? What do I have to do? I mean, the devil meets you at the end of the bed with this list saying, look at. Here we go. Are you ready to start your day? See, you got to get that Holy Ghost fire, that Holy Ghost bazooka out, shoot him in that list he's got so he gets out of the way and you can go pray. Amen? And then once he gets done with that, then he says, man, aren't you hungry? Man, you know you can't go on. You don't have enough strength this morning. You know, what's he doing? Bringing you to you, isn't he? See, he wants to convince you that you need to eat, hello, before you pray. You feed your flesh before you pray, you're going to have a different day. But you feed your spirit before you pray, you're going to have a glorious day. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 23. But the Levites shall perform the work of the tabernacle of meeting, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. For the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer up as a heave offering to the Lord, I have given to the Levites as an inheritance. Therefore I said to them, among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. In other words, they are separated. Their inheritance is different than those who are not. The Levites are working in the tabernacle for the Lord. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Good. Let's go to Numbers 35. So, a Levite's portion is who? The Lord. Somebody got it? That's our inheritance, isn't it? Numbers 35. I mean, God doesn't forget us, man, you know? Numbers 35. In first 8 verses. Read it with me, please. Anybody there? And the Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan across Jericho, saying, command the children of Israel that they give the Levites cities. Hello. Now, the children of Israel were commanded to give the Levites cities. My God, are you a Levite? Amen. You're doing if you're doing Levitical service. Do you understand that? To dwell in from the inheritance of their possession, and you shall also give the Levites common land around the cities. They shall have the cities to dwell in, and their common land shall be for their cattle, for their herds, and for all of their animals. The common land of the cities which you shall give to the Levites shall extend from the wall of the city outward of 1,000 cubits all around. And you shall measure outside the city on the east side 2,000 cubits, on the south side 2,000 cubits, on the west and on the north. And the city shall be in the middle. This shall belong to them as a common land for the cities. Now among the cities which you will give the Levites, you shall appoint 6 cities of refuge to which a manslayer may flee. And to these you shall add 40 cities. So all the cities you shall give the Levites shall be 48. These you shall give with their common land. And the cities which you shall give shall be from the possession of the children of Israel. From the larger tribe you shall give many, and from the smaller you shall give few. Each shall give some of its cities to the Levites in proportion to the inheritance that each receives. So understand something. It's not that we don't have an inheritance, amen? Because we do. Every one of us as believers has an eternal inheritance. There's a special inheritance that God has for us. But I truly believe that there's something special that God has for a working fellowship. Those who are serving in that body, in that fellowship, I truly believe that there's something special that God has. It's an added to their normal inheritance. Is everybody with me? Hallelujah. 48 cities set apart. There's enough pasture for their cattle. Plus they received the tithes, and they also had to give tithes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, they weren't required to devote all of their time to the sanctuary, but there were fixed periods. In fact, at that period of time, they had specific ages. They started at age 25, and they retired at age 50. So they served as a Levitical service in the tabernacle, and they retired at 50. And they had all the land as their inheritance and all the things that were given to them. That's when they retired. Hallelujah. That ain't that no way. That's not the way it is today, is it? Hallelujah. That's okay. Many of the Levites were involved in the musical, the musicians, teachers, cleaners, childcare, doorkeepers, ushers, catchers, you name it. All of these things were a part of serving in that fellowship one way or another. That's the Levitical service. And one of the things God is doing is bringing his people in to begin to serve in the house of God. You know what? It's an honor to serve in the house of God. Whatever it is. A driver, people picking up children and so forth. We're praying for another van. We need another van so we can bring people. We need another van so we can bring children. I'm telling you, God's going to give us this building, and we're getting prepared for it. Amen? Things are going to happen. Something's going to happen. It's going to happen in a year. To God be the glory. Something's going to happen. Why? Because you can't help when the fire is over this place. I mean, you can't help if the cloud is over this place. You can't help. I mean, enemy's got to run. He can't stand it. He can't stand to be cooked. And he's already blinded. Oh, hallelujah. God be the glory. Ephesians chapter 4. That's why it's so important that believers get plugged into a fellowship. I want you to look around this room. You see, everybody here is an eternal family. You know, when I got saved and I got filled with the Holy Spirit and so forth, I looked at my natural family and I said, that's not my family. That's not my family. It like blew my mind. I had such revelation. I looked at my dad. I said, man, that's not my dad. I looked at my mother. I said, that's not my brother. And the scripture came to me, those who are my brothers and my sisters are those who serve me, who obey me. Amen? I mean, I looked around at my family after I got saved and I went to go visit them. I looked, I said, this is not my family. And I thanked my dad, my heavenly dad. I said, Dad, I thank you for using my mom to bring me in here, my dad, and so forth. And I thank you for them. And I know once they get rescued, they're going to be a part of my family, but right now they're not. And then my dad came to the Lord, and my mother came to the Lord, and now they became my family. My brother's still struggling. He still doesn't know what to do with me. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. You know, still amazing. Most people can't figure it out because they don't understand the things of the Spirit. They still think you're doing it in your strength. That's why they always say to you, well, if it works for you, well, if it works for you, go ahead and do it. You know what? Because they can't understand the things of the Spirit. They're still waiting for you to fall and go back the way you used to be. You know? They just don't get it. But that's okay. They'll get it when they get home. Ephesians chapter 4. I just don't understand this. You know, it's pretty amazing because my brother, when I was messed up, of course I was younger then, I was getting ready to go to prison for life. He brought me to a Spirit-filled service because he knew somebody that he worked with, but he didn't know anything about God. Everybody was lifting their hands and whatever, and I'm like, this is crazy. I was 20 years old. I thought, man, get me out of here. I got to go catch a buzz. You know, my only desire was to fellowship with the devil. But it's ironic because his good friend was a Spirit-filled believer and an elder of a church and so forth, and they used to talk. You know? So I went there. I didn't receive Jesus or anything. It wasn't until many moon later. And I did. But, you know, it's pretty ironic. They try to help you, but they don't even know what they're doing. I mean, think about all the people that tried to help us. The only one that can rescue us is the Lord. Amen? But see, you've got to have a heart that says, I want to know you. I want to know you. Obviously, I'm missing something because I keep going around in circles. I keep doing the same old garbage. I keep going through the same old problems. Obviously, I'm missing something. I had a gentleman call me today. He was a heroin addict. He said he's in theology school. I said, well, obviously, it's not doing you any good. He told me what denomination he was. I said, oh. He said, yeah, I don't believe in that tongue stuff. I said, hallelujah. I said, well, you know what? You're an addict and I'm not. Obviously, there's something you're not doing right. I said, all the theology you have and you're still not free. I said, you know why? Because it's truth that sets you free. It's truth that sets you free. I kept telling him, man, the letter kills and the Spirit gives life. He couldn't understand all of that. You know? But he told me from one stage it is to the other and whatever, and tell him to go detox and then give me a call. He wanted to know if he could come to the program on methadone. Hallelujah. I said, how long have you been in church? He told me a long time. I said, has anybody ever cast the devil out? Well, they almost were gonna, but I went out and got high. He said, no, they were going to lay hands on me. I said, no. I said, were they going to cast the devil out of you? He said, you know you're loaded. He said, well, you know, I said, don't give me this stuff. A believer can't have a devil because he can. Where do you think they're going? I told him, well, give me a call when you go to detox and we'll see what's up. I said, but I will not take you on methadone. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4. starting at verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk what? Worthy of the calling with which you were called. Were you called? Are you called? Are you called? Amen. Well, what are you doing with your call? Still calling? I'm still calling someone to find out what I'm calling. What's my call? I think I'll call somebody. No. Hallelujah. Are you walking worthy of the calling with which you were called with all lowliness? That means humble. Bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, which as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Verse 6. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's what? Gift. Now look at. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. Were you captive? Yes. Amen. And gave gifts to men. So everyone in this room has a specific gift that you can offer in a Levitical service. Does everybody understand that? He's not talking about the gifts of the Spirit now. He's talking about there's something specific that you can offer into the house of God. Oh, hallelujah. So he gave gifts to men. Now, he's not talking about carnal men. This letter was written to the body of Christ, a church in Ephesus. Okay? This was given gifts that he gave to his children. He's not just talking about spiritual gifts, like the gifts of the Spirit. He's talking about other specific gifts that can be used in the service of the Levitical service or service in the house of God. Romans 12. Oh, hallelujah. It's good to hear pages turning on a Tuesday night. You know, one of the things that you want to start doing is, you know what? One of the things I realized was, after I'd gotten saved, I got involved immediately in the house of God. Immediately. I got involved in the morning prayer group. You know, they were my family. I mean, you know, they were all older than I was. They were more mature. You know, and one of the things I realized is if you hang around with people that are more mature than you are, you'll grow quicker. You know? And in that arena, I was taught how to really press in and pray through. I was taught how to endure all the questions that we have in the beginning of a believer. I was able to get answered, not everything, but, you know, I was brought up in a family. I mean, we used to go to morning prayer, and we'd pray and so forth, and afterwards we used to eat garlic bread and talk, and everybody would die. No. We would go break bread, you know. I mean, it was just powerful. And it was just a bunch of fellowship with believers. But I stayed, you know, like what David said, man, I'm going to stay in the house of, I stayed in the house of God as much as I could because that was my home. Is everybody with me? I wanted to serve. You know, when you get saved, the first thing you want to do is give. Man, what can I give of myself? You know, what? I mean, because there's like a sense of, oh, man, thank you. I owe you. I owe you everything. You know, what can I give? So I wanted to, one of the first ways that we can serve in the house of God is prayer. We have intercessory prayer every Sunday. That's one of the ways that we're going to start having prayer at 6 o'clock in the morning here, eventually. God designates the time. House of prayer. Amen, Mom? Hallelujah. In verse 3. Romans 8 and verse 3. Is everybody there? Oh, wait a minute. Romans 12, I'm sorry. Hallelujah. Romans 12 and verse 3. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Everyone say, use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith or ministry. Let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives in liberally, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. So do it all in love. But everybody has a specific gift that they can offer to the house of God in the Levitical service. Is everybody with me? Praise God. And we're supposed to be using them. You know, as you begin to fellowship more in the body of Christ, because one of the things the enemy tries to do is to separate us. It takes an individual longer to grow. In fact, someone who walks in confusion. Listen, you notice that sometimes when you get together, you know that a lot of, you might have stuff hanging on you, and you know, you got 14 demons dragging you, and you're doing, oh, man. And once you get in the presence of God, because everybody's carrying the presence of God, you sense that some of them let go. Of course, some of them are still grabbing your leg like one of those chihuahuas, you know. You're going, yah, yah, you know. Get off me. And he's got your ankle. And once you start praising and worshiping the Lord, and that anointing, see, the anointing brings the oil on you, then they slip off. They can't hold on to you. Amen? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 12. Serving in the house of God. You know, so many people run from church to church. Sometimes they run from church to church and they don't understand why they're running. As they're trying to fit in, but yet they're not willing to fit in. Do you understand? They're trying to find the comfort zone. And there's a difference. We have to be led by the Lord. It's got to be God's will, not our will. You know? It's got to be God's will. I can't tell you how many times God tried to get me out of the fellowship that I was in. I mean, the enemy tried to get me out of the fellowship I was in. And I realized, and the Lord kept teaching me and showing me, teaching me more about the enemy. Amen? There's nothing wrong with visiting places and going to whatever, you know? But you know, you can't be led by what you think. You must be led by the Spirit, what's in your heart. And sometimes many believers have a difficult time to discern what is truly in their heart and what's in their mind. Amen? It's a difficult thing. And that's where it's important that God gives us the offices of the body of Christ so we can get counsel and find out what's happening. And when you don't know what to do, you don't do anything. How many times has the Lord told you, come on, get back to basics? Come on, get back to basics. Get back to the basics in your walk and make it simple. Because the devil has a tendency to make Christ so difficult. When it's simplicity of Christ. You know, then we get caught up in legalism and religion. And we don't even realize it. Then we get caught up in works. And we begin to justify and everything else. Amen? But I'm telling you what, if there's more in fellowship, there's less of that. Amen? There's lots of that. There's comfort. There's exhortation. There's encouragement. You know, the enemy loves to separate individuals. So they begin to do it in their own strength. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 12. Is everybody there? Verse 18. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Is everybody there? Are you sure? I'm not there. Okay, let's go. Verse 18. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. In other words, we have a tendency to think that somebody who's washing toilets is lesser. That's what the devil wants to tell us. Amen? Does everybody understand that? The person that vacuums the rug is not so important. Anybody can do that. That's what the enemy says that. Do you understand? But God doesn't look at it in that way. He doesn't care if you're standing at the door opening it. You're no different than the preacher. Has everybody got it? There is no levels in service. It is service. That's what it's all about. And those members, verse 23, of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no what? That means division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for what? One another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the what? In the church. Are we the church? He's talking about the body of Christ, but then there's that specific fellowship, right? First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all working miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do you all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gift, and yet I show you more in an excellent way. Now he's not talking about getting the best gift. He's talking about more of an excellent way, and he's talking about love. Because if you notice that the next verse talks about tongues, but I'm not going to go there. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is everyone in this room has a specific gift to offer to the house of God. Does everybody understand it? Without your offering, without your giving of that gift, the house of God cannot exist. It's important. Hallelujah. Go to Revelation 2. So we're to use the gifts or abilities with love. Revelation chapter 2. Hallelujah. 2:2. What's the Lord say here? I know your works. It's the first thing he recognized, wasn't it? Does everybody see this? He says, I what? I know your works. Your labor. Well, works and labor. Your patience. And that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not. And have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience. And have labored for my name's sake. And have not become weary. In other words, you fought. You went through. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your what? First love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the what? First works. Now, isn't it quite interesting that you've lost your first love and it's associated with your first works? Has everybody got it? Or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you what? Repent. Hallelujah. Lost the first love for Christ in the body, which is the church. In other words, they've not only lost their first love of the personal relationship, but they lost their love to service in the house of God. Is everybody with me? Praise God. Go to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. Now, I don't have a list or applications for serving in the house of God. What you want to do is you want to pray. And you want to ask God, what are you supposed to do? Amen? Where's the need? What's happening? In verse 19, read it with me. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So if your heart is in the arena of the world, to constantly work and just make money and do this because of the material things you want to purchase or whatever, then your heart's not in the right place. Is it? Then you're building up treasures for the world. You know, we got to go back to the original, what we just spoke about, where the Bible says that the Levites' inheritance is the Lord. Does everybody got it? The Levites' inheritance is the Lord. So if you've got the Lord, you've got everything already. You know, you've got everything already. The whole thing is this getting position again, which we keep talking about. Getting that position, serving in the house of God. So that you can be sent to go serve. Has everybody got it? Serving in the house of God, fulfilling your Leviticus service. Like I said, we want to be a working church. We want to be an outreach. We want to have movies on Friday night. We want to bring in people that were do not know. You know, there's so many new beginner believers that do not know what to do. We want to have classes in that. We want to have classes and so forth for people that are bound by drugs and alcohol but don't want to come to into a program, but we want to have classes where they can come twice a week, and like in an outpatient. We want to have classes during the day. We want to have classes during the night. I don't want this building to be empty. I want this building to be constantly used for the glory of God. Amen? That's what it's supposed to be. This is the house of God. People want to look at this place as a refuge where they can get prayer, where they can get help. You know, how many times when we were out there lost and you thought about going to a church and you went to go open a door and it was locked? You know? I remember one time I went into a church and people were there. I mean, they were in the offices, and I went into church and I laid my face on the altar and wept. And I just wept. And I thank God for that door that was open. For some reason, psychologically or whatever, I thought, you know, because I didn't know God, I figured if he was going to be anywhere, he'd be in a church, right? I didn't know what was what. You know, I mean, I was brought up Catholicism, you know, everybody told me God was in the church, so I figured out that's where we'd be. You got to go to church Sunday, God's in there, yeah, right. Why did I leave the same way I went in? Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Psalm 27. So these individuals began to labor for themselves. Does everybody understand that? And they were building up treasures that were going to fade away. Psalm 27. Glory to God. Is everybody there? First six verses. Psalm 27. Okay. Praise God. The Lord is my what? And my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Now listen, this is very important. Because what was he saying? He's saying, look, I can get all of this because I have fellowship with the body of Christ. What did he say? He said, man, what do I got to be afraid of? You know why? He was getting encouragement from the body of Christ. Why? He was dwelling in the house of the Lord. Is everybody with me? He said, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. For in time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. He was talking about the house of God. In the secret place of his what? Tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me on high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy or praise in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Why? Because he was coming to the house of God. Is everybody with me? A place of encouragement. Go to John 2. Oh, hallelujah. John chapter 2. Everybody's mind's going, man, what can I do in the house of God? What are you trying to show me, Lord? Go just sit beside with him in the presence and be quiet. He knows what's what. Amen? Ask him what you're supposed to do. Then inquire and see if you get confirmation. John chapter 2, verse 13. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. 13 through 17. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. Do not. Now look at. Then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has what? Eaten me up. Zeal for the house of God. Your temple. You're the temple now, right? Remember I said when you come into the building, you make this the house of God, don't you? It becomes the house of God. But zeal for the house of God. We should have a desire to come into the house of God. We should have a desire to fulfill the purpose of our life according to the will of God. We should have a desire to do whatever it takes to maintain the house of God. Is everybody with me? Does everybody understand that? It's so important. Because people are looking for a place to go to, aren't they? They're looking for a place. They're looking for the fellowship. They're looking. It's got to be a place of love. But it's not going to be a place of love without God's presence. So it's got to be a place where God's presence is. Ephesians chapter 2. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Verse 19. Ephesians 2:19. Let's read this together. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole world building, in whom the whole building being fitted together, grows into a what? Holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for the dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Members of the household of God, laborers unto the Lord. Go to Ephesians 4 while we're here. In verse 11, read it with me. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be what? Apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. For what? The equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Well, if there's not a place to go to, how are you going to equip the saints? For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine or by the trickery of men or the devil, right, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may what? Grow up. Grow up. We should be growing up every time we come to the house of God. There's something that we should be able to receive if we're willing. You know, you can come here 100 times a week and not get anything if you choose not to. Amen. So you must participate. You must be involved. From whom the whole, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Verse 16, read it with me. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Praise God. House is a place of equipped saints in unity. They want to, so that we become like-minded with the Lord. It's a place where weapons are imparted. Their inheritance is expressed. To expose their enemy, reveal their lover, Jesus. Teach ethics of royalty. Train them for war. Rescue. To become good stewards and armor bearers, priests and officers, witnesses of the truth, and loyal laborers. Does everybody understand? That's what the house of God is. If you know what? We all came to the house of God and started somewhere. Amen? Some of us had to start in jail because the house of God had to go to you. Amen? Wherever it is, you had to start somewhere. My walk didn't start with the Lord until I went to the house of God. And I remember a preacher holding up the Bible. I thought, whoa. He said, you know, started talking about the Word. I'll never forget the first time he said, in Jesus' name. When he said, you got to pray in Jesus' name. I never knew that before. Wow, this is wild. You know? Then he told me, you need to go ask Jesus. You need to ask him in your heart. And I did. Now I'm normal. Hallelujah. Everybody else is abnormal. They're all nuts. Because they don't know the Lord. You got to be nuts to have fellowship with the devil. Amen. Hallelujah. So the house of God is a place where we become like-minded with Christ. Where his character begins to manifest in us. Where we get armed with the weapons, impart inheritance, expose the enemy, reveal their lover, Jesus. Teach ethics of royalty. Train them for war, rescue. Teach them how to rescue. Teach them to be good stewards and armor bearers, priests, officers, and witnesses of the truth, and loyal laborers. Amen. Psalm 127. Oh, hallelujah. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Amen? So we don't want to build it according to our will. Listen, he's even talking about your own households. Unless the Lord builds your marriage, your household, unless he builds it, you labor in vain. The enemy has free access to steal everything from you. So you choose to get right with God. Unless the Lord builds a house, we labor in vain. Unless the Lord guards the city. Unless the Lord guards it. Well, he's not going to guard it unless he built it. The watchman stays awake in vain. In other words, it's not going to go do any good. Amen? Building or serving in the house of God must be done in the Spirit. That means joyfully. Joyfully. To volunteer service in his house is an honor. It's not a chore. It's not a burden. To serve in the house of God should be an honor to fulfill a Leviticus service. Amen? 1 Corinthians 3. Oh, hallelujah. So if you're just a visitor here and you're plugged in a church already, this is for you too. Make sure you serve there. Verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 8. Would you read it with me? Now he who plants and he who waters are what? One. And each one will receive his own reward according to his what? Own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field and you are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. In other words, you can't do it. It must be done in the Spirit. It must be done by guidance of the Lord. Take heed how it's built. For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. So if you're trying to build your own empire, it's going to burn. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Hallelujah. What did he say? Take heed. Listen. Pay attention. Focus. Don't forget. Be faithful. Complete what you started. Don't abandon your position. Amen? You know, people say to me, we're behind you, Pastor. Praise God. Don't get behind me. But get up next to me so I can see you. Hallelujah. We're behind you, Pastor. Good. Now get up next to me where I can see you. The Bible says, know who you labor with. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. We don't serve in the house of God to get recognition. Amen? Or authority. You know, some people want recognition and authority, but they can't submit to what authority is given to them already. They want to serve, but they don't want to serve God's way, they want to serve their way. Many people want to come and receive but don't want to give. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, 1 Peter 2:11, would you read it with me? Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from what? Fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors, or to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may what? Put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as a bondservant of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. That's good works. Good works. In other words, make no place for the devil. Amen? Make no place for the devil. Give no one the excuse that what your labor is incomplete. Make no place. If when you choose to serve in the house of God, do it with all of your heart. Don't do it to get recognition, or don't just do it in front of man. You know, what you do out in your workplace is what you'll do in the house of God. Is everybody with me? Go to Matthew 5. No, I'll do it better in the house of God. No, you won't. You may do it for the first day. Matthew 5 and verse 14. It says that you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen? That they may see your good works, that they may hear of your good works. Amen? What we want to be able to do is labor unto the Lord. Do it in the fullness of our heart. Do it right. Don't rush through it because of other tasks. Be honest with yourself until it's 100% good. Amen? In other words, treat your task like God is standing right with you and walking with you and saying, here, come on, let's do this. You know, so many times people do tasks and they put God behind them. Oh, we're behind you, Lord. And he's saying, no, come up next to me so I can see you. Do it with all of your heart. Amen? Whatever task God has given you, never abandon your post. And make sure that if you're not going to be there, it's fulfilled. Never abandon your post. Can you imagine? Now think about this. Well, I don't feel good. I'm not going to go preach tonight. And then I didn't send someone. So everybody come here and be, I mean, we got all kinds of preachers here. Amen? But if I didn't, does everybody understand? If I didn't have someone to replace me, that's my responsibility and accountability to God. So many people just, let it go. They just let it go. Well, the pastor will take care of it. That's assuming number one no-no. Never assume. Never. You cannot assume. You must follow things through. I'm going to talk more about this. Hallelujah. How to build or serve. I got a few things here. About 10 of them. The first thing you want to do, of course, is search out the Lord. We talked about that. In the Spirit. You always want to serve in the Spirit. Look at what is the need. What is the need? You know, so many people go, well, I'm not anointed for that. You know, I'm not anointed to do that. I'm not anointed to do that job. Just do it and he'll anoint you. Hello? Just do it and he'll anoint you. The second thing. In other words, when you're looking at something, look at it. What is the material needed to fulfill the position or the task in hand? In other words, what do I need? Amen? What do I need? How should I dress? What should I do? The third thing is inquire if someone has done it before or if help is needed. Always inquire if someone has done it, or get counsel on what you're supposed to do. Do not assume. Do you understand? Our whole purpose is to make no place for the devil. Where you assume, you are allowing a place for the devil. Every time you assume, you allow a place for the devil. So many people go, well, I thought such and such was going to do this. You know what? That person never followed through. Well, when you thought, quit thinking. Just do it. Write down any changes and any prayerful impartations you get from the Lord to assist in your position. Write it down. Paper doesn't forget. Hello? Paper does not forget. Write it down. Write down any changes and any prayerful impartations you get from the Lord. Number five, treat it as God personally gave this job to you and be accountable to Him. That's why you must always ask, Lord, what should I do now? Holy Spirit, help me. Did I do this to the fullness? Am I shortcut in anything? Am I not doing this correctly? Am I really doing it? See, let me tell you something. If you're truly doing it under the Lord, it'll be done perfect. If you're doing it onto yourself or just trying to get a job completed, then you're not doing it unto God. And you're going to make way for the devil and for people to say bad things about you. Does everybody understand that? It's important. Never leave your position or post unoccupied for service. If for some reason you can't make it, make sure someone replaces you and to fill your position. Keep an open communication. Amen? There should always be an open communication with the authority. Always keep an open communication. Course number seven, never assume, but see it through. Become responsible as a good steward. See it through. Never assume. And become responsible as a good steward. Number eight. Everybody all right? Mentor someone to help and pass it on. You know, I got a call from a girl that was in jail, and she's trying to come to our program, and she went through our program in there, and she did well. And she's been actually ministering to a lot of the girls in there, giving them deliverance prayers and daily confession, and, you know, all the stuff in there. And she says so many people come to her and ask her all kinds of things and whatever, you know. And the Holy Spirit quickened me, and I shared with her, I said, you make sure somebody replaces you. And she said, wow, I didn't think about that. I said, you train up someone. You mentor someone that knows everything. You give them everything you have before you leave that place. Everybody got it? See, because it's not about one person. We are the body. Amen? We are the body. Our discipleship house gets mentored. They get trained up. So to they can replace. My hope is that everybody in this place can replace me and go beyond what God has given me. That's what it's supposed to be. Amen? Number nine, take a mental checklist and compare it to your written list. Hello? Number 10, let someone know you have completed the job. In other words, okay, I've done this. Hey, I'm finished with this. In other words, that way somebody can check. The Bible says in a multitude of counsel, there's what? Safety and wisdom. Let somebody know that the job is completed and it's cleaned up and so forth. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with going, is there anything else I can do? Everybody understand it? Why? Because that brings accountability. Listen, if you can't be accountable in the house of God, you're not going to be accountable out there. Titus chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody all right? You want me to repeat those? Does anybody want me to repeat those? Did anybody write them down? I'm going to repeat them anyways. Number one, prayerfully do it in the Spirit. Find out what the need is. Remember, you don't have to be anointed to do the job. As you do the job, you'll be anointed. Amen? In other words, you don't get anointed to go to the house of God. You get anointed when you come in the house of God. God will always meet you where you need to be. Number two, what is the material need to fulfill the position or task at hand? Number three, inquire with someone who's done it before or if help is needed. Number four, write down any changes and prayerful impartations from the Lord. Number five, treat it as God personally gave this job to you, because he did, and be accountable to him. Number six, never leave your position or post unoccupied for service if for some reason you can't make sure someone can replace you and fulfill your position. Number seven, never assume, but see it through. Become responsible as a good steward. Number eight, mentor someone to help and pass it on to. Number nine, take a mental check. Take a mental checklist and compare it with your written checklist. And number 10, let someone know you're finished and everything is completed and cleaned up, be accountable so somebody can check it. Is everybody all right? Hallelujah. What we want to do is we want to shut the door to the enemy in our life. Amen? No matter what you're doing. Listen, it's not just about serving in the house of God. These ethics are applying. It's for everything. On your job, in your home, everything you do. No matter what it is. The Holy Spirit has been given to me and you so we can see things to come. Amen? If you're so busy involved in what's going on and you're not walking in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's saying, man, you know what, this, and that. If you don't do this, you're going to have to redo this again or whatever. Then you're not listening. You're too caught up in the physical arena instead of the spiritual arena. Does everybody understand that? Listen, mistakes are understood, but repetitive mistakes is a problem. There's a problem. Amen? Because we're to focus. We're to have relationship. We're to stay in the Spirit and have fellowship. That's why we're always to ask the Holy Spirit for guidance. Amen? We don't want to constantly have to do the same thing over and over and over. We must learn to walk in the Spirit. Check our job. Have somebody else check it. You think I did this right? Don't be so prideful that you don't need somebody to check it. I know what I'm doing. Good. That's why you got to do it 14 times. Amen? Do it with an open, humble heart. Because you're laboring unto God, not yourself. There's a difference. Make sure the Holy Spirit is involved in everything you're doing, even when you purchase materials, so you don't have to purchase them twice. Amen? Titus 3. Hallelujah. Starting at verse 1. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every what? Good work. To speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of our God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly. Constantly. That those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Does everybody understand it? To what? Maintain good works. Be accountable. Be responsible. No matter what the task is. I don't care if you're cleaning toilets. I don't care if you're just replacing paper towels. Don't just stuff them in there. Make sure it looks good. You know, do it unto the Lord. And everything that you do, make it right. Complete it. Don't get pushed. Because if you get pushed, you're going to end up messing it up. You're going to have to redo it anyways. Do it once, do it right, and do it unto the Lord. Amen? And to God be the glory. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. We love you and we exalt you. We welcome you, Lord. We welcome you. Lord, we take this opportunity and we repent of any area of our lives that we have not labored unto you, but we've labored unto ourselves. Lord, and even in the areas where we tried to do things to be recognized, Lord, we repent. We repent for laboring in pride and arrogance. We repent, Lord, for not having you involved when we are laboring. But we're asking, Lord, for a new beginning tonight, Lord, a new fresh start. Because you're the God who grants us benefits and mercies are new every day. Lord, we repent for not looking toward the house of God and having a heart that's turning away. But Lord, we turn our hearts to you tonight. And we ask, Lord, not only in our job places, in our homes, that we become better stewards and laborers unto you and whatever you might have us do in the house of your presence, a place where people will come and know you, a place where people can come and get armed with your weapons and prepared to serve you, a place, Lord, where fellowship is, where your true family is, Lord. Lord, we repent from running from the house of God. And we ask, Lord, for your mercies, your grace, and your impartation as you wash us, establish us, and perfect us tonight, Lord. Now, Father, I stand in the gap for all of us here. And I'm asking, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would move quickly on the wings of our, on the wings of your wind here, and that you'll bring such an impartation and revelation. Lord, lay it before us that we may be able to see those things in the Spirit so that we can do a better job in what you've given us so that we can labor unto you. Lord, I apply the blood of Jesus on that seed. Let it grow and bear fruit for your glory. Let not the devil steal it, but bring conviction where conviction is. Bring healing where there's hurt. And bring strength where there's weakness. That you may be glorified in everything that we do, so that we can be acknowledged as pillars in your temple. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen? Amen. Hallelujah.